Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Faith on the Border. Some years ago, our church's Peace and Justice Support Network created a button that said, "God's love has no borders." But we certainly build walls and borders and boundaries, don't we? In 2009, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, for a board meeting when Mennonite Church USA confirmed that we would hold our 2013 biennial assembly in Phoenix. At the time, it seemed like a great idea, but between 2009 and 2013, that decision became controversial because Arizona state law 1070 racially profiled Mexican-Americans and other Latinos, instilling a climate of fear affecting people of all ethnicities. For hundreds of years, people have migrated within and through that region for work and family reasons. Arizona was part of Mexico beginning in 1822 and became a U.S. territory called New Mexico when the Mexican-American War ended in 1848. In 1853, with the Gadsden Purchase, the Phoenix area became a border territory, and then in 1912, as 48th in the Union, Arizona became a border state. Similar to the U.S. Repatriation Act of the 1930s and Operation Wetback of the 1950s, current immigration law largely confuses three issues as if they all need to be addressed in one policy: immigration, drug smuggling, and national security. Now, here in Virginia, we don't live in a border state or a border city, yet political borders and their defense affect us all. Rahab lived on the border. Literally, she lived in Jericho's fortification wall. She lived in a time of political and economic distress, even crisis, that required impossible choices and serious risks. Yet Rahab, her story, her life, her voice, her action, her legacy, makes a theological contribution to our scriptures and our living faith in the God whose love has no borders. Because of Rahab, we can better trace the distinctive loving kindness of God, which must become incarnate. It must be lived out among people. Rahab had faith on the border. Now, is anyone else bothered by the fact that Rahab was a prostitute? As a child, when I learned what prostitution was, I was horrified. Sex should not be bought or sold. But we call it the oldest profession because prostitution has been around since antiquity. When there's no other means for making a living, in desperate circumstances, individuals and families have resorted to prostitution, selling sexual services, because there seems to be an insatiable market for sex, regardless of culture. Of course, predator pimps have also traded in human lives. A couple of years ago, while on sabbatical, Kent and I were in the city of Athens, Greece, following some of the places where the Apostle Paul preached. We declined many solicitations from Roma girls and women trying to get us to buy these long-stemmed roses wrapped in cellophane. These Roma families, sometimes called gypsies, make a living selling small items and hustling among the tourists. One woman, who was at least a decade older than I, approached us with a big smile and asked us to buy flowers. We were seated in a restaurant at the time. This was about our 10th solicitation. We refused, but she persevered. We were firm, no flowers. She explained that she had a baby coming and held her thick middle. I tried not to roll my eyes, but I did not believe her for a second. Then she laid the flowers on the table and said, "Free for you." Suddenly, my softer-hearted husband was pulling out euros. He gave her 1.5 euros. She scowled and said she needed more. So we gave her another. Later, walking with these roses in hand, kind of like a shield to say, "We've already bought some, don't bother us," Kent said, "I guess they are just making a living the way they know how. At least they aren't selling themselves." And suddenly, I just wanted every little Roma girl and all their mothers and grandmothers, even the ones faking a pregnancy, to make a living hawking flowers if it meant not falling into prostitution. According to the European Roma Rights Center, there's a disproportionate representation of Roma people trafficked in Europe. Forced begging and prostitution are two of the typical injustices that Roma people suffer. To be clear, Rahab of Jericho didn't sell flowers. She didn't beg. She was in prostitution. She may have been a prostitute herself, or she may have been the madam of a brothel, or both. But whatever the case, she'd found a way through economic distress when there was no real choice. There's actually some evidence that once her family was in linen production, they had, after all, these large stacks of flax on their roof, probably more than one individual household would need for their own use. Maybe the markets changed when the borders closed and no one could come in and no one could come out. So now, Rahab's house is trading in sex. I first learned Rahab's heroic story as a child. I loved the part about the red cord she hung out her window, that sign of good faith. When the king of Jericho learned that these spies were in the city, he sent orders to Rahab to turn them over. But like some of those Hebrew midwives who once defied an Egyptian king's death orders, Rahab too refuses the demands of her government. Instead of handing them over to death, Rahab hid the Hebrew spies on her roof, under the flax, and sent the king's men on a wild goose chase. Then she went to the rooftop herself. Let's listen again to that part when Rahab is speaking to the spies. Twice, you'll hear the Hebrew term chesed, which is sometimes translated with kindness. It means the steadfast, faithful, loving kindness of God. Rahab says to the spies, "I know that Yahweh's given you the land, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we've heard how Yahweh dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. Yahweh, your God, is indeed God in heaven and on earth. Now then, since I have shown chesed to you, swear to me by Yahweh that you will in turn show chesed to my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you'll spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab was a pagan Canaanite, and yet she knows the story of Israel. She knows how God rescued the Hebrew people at the Red Sea. And Rahab believes that these rumors of conquest are true. She believes the scrappy Hebrews will, by some miraculous act of God, defeat the fortified city of Jericho. But this conquest is interrupted to bring you a story of salvation by means of chesed, the faithful love of God activated between human beings. It's ironic that while Rahab describes her people's heart-melting fear, she herself demonstrates the most profound courage, defying the king, declaring her faith, cutting a deal with the spies. In the book of Joshua, remember, we're supposed to be looking for that kind of courage. Rahab's story begins in chapter 2. But recall that we hear three times in chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Be like Rahab, who shows incredible strength and courage. She makes an agreement based on chesed, the faithful, steadfast kindness and love of God. It's never a theoretical concept. It must be expressed in human life. This is where Rahab's budding theology of the God of heaven and earth begins to flow into ethics. She appeals to the spies based on chesed, loving kindness. She has the courage and faith for this kind of agreement. And so do the spies. They don't try to correct Rahab's theology or her ethics. She's got a tight argument. And let's face it, they have to make a deal with this woman or they may not even escape with their lives. And so in a peace covenant, Rahab took the initiative and refused to turn these guys over to the king. The spies agree to spare her life and that of her extended family. Then she lets them ride down the wall in a basket and hangs the red cord from her window, the sign of good faith. Indeed, when the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, Rahab and all her family are saved. Friends, this biblical conquest is interrupted to bring you a story of salvation by means of chesed that crosses borders and creates new community. The story of Rahab's people spared by the crimson cord in the window is a not so subtle connection to the Hebrew slaves being spared from the angel of death when they were still slaves in Egypt. The Canaanite family of Rahab experiences kind of a new Passover, a new Exodus, and they are incorporated into God's promised salvation as part of Yahweh's chosen people. This artist is Janet Schaffner, and she captures the connection between these two stories of God's salvation. From the Exodus, the sign of salvation, remember, was the blood on the doorposts. See how that image of the blood on the doorposts is hovering over this story that's in focus? From Joshua, the sign of salvation is the red cord from the window. Rahab's theological contribution to our faith is first to recognize Yahweh as God of heaven and earth. The borders and divisions we human beings devise are not the deepest reality. God's love has no borders. God's love surrounds and infuses all creation and surpasses all political boundaries. Second, Rahab's story of being saved by a red sign outside her home is a variation on Israel's story. We all have our own stories of salvation, Variations on the grand story of God's salvation, first articulated by Hebrew people. Third, Rahab has this expectation about chesed. It's not an abstract ideal of love and kindness. It's a saving love that functions under pressure, a love practiced by people who are in no-win circumstances, a godly love that's possible even between spies and prostitutes, a love that makes for peace across the border. In the end, Rahab saved not just the spies, not just herself, but her father and mother, brothers and sisters, all who belong to her household. Had I been Rahab, I wonder whether I wouldn't have suddenly discovered a few long-lost cousins right around the time the trumpets blasted around the city wall. Finally, brothers and sisters, Rahab points us to Jesus. After all, Jesus' life and lifeblood would mean salvation for the whole human family. In Hebrew, the final verse of Rahab's story says, "But Rahab the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, Joshua spared. She has lived in Israel ever since, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." It's really very strange to say that Rahab has lived in Israel ever since. It makes it sound like she never died. And so most of our biblical translations kind of clean this up a bit and just say, well, her family has lived in Israel ever since. That makes for a very tidy translation. But the Hebrew is puzzling. To say that Rahab has lived in Israel ever since means, perhaps, every time we approach that border wall between us and them, between our confidence in triumph and sure defeat, we had better remember the life of Rahab among us. To say that Rahab has lived in Israel ever since means, perhaps, amidst the rubble of our society or our faith tradition, remains a faithful living testimony to the God of Israel, the God of all creation, whose steadfast love and faithfulness has no borders. The book of Joshua is very difficult to read as God's word, as scripture. But Jesus, Yeshua, was named for Joshua. And he certainly knew this part of Scripture. Jesus didn't hear God's word as a command to destroy the enemy. Jesus heard God's word as a call to love enemies, to risk his own life rather than resort to killing. Rahab's story at the beginning of the book of Joshua tips the whole biblical conquest memory in the direction of Jesus and his campaign of mercy and self-giving chesed love on the cross. Indeed, Rahab was one of Jesus' ancestors. As a follower of Jesus, when I read the story of Rahab and hear these eternal words, "Since I have shown chesed to you, swear to me by Yahweh that you will show chesed to my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you'll spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." I wonder what act of loving kindness I can offer from my position on the border. I wonder whether the Lord will supply the courage I need to act for the sake of others. Rahab committed civil disobedience against her government. She showed hospitality to strangers. She made a new confession in God. She initiated a covenant of peace with the enemies of her hometown, Jericho. She waited for God's deliverance. And she joined the people of God. She shares her legacy with us. Well, what I'm doing lately is working with the Steering Committee of Faith in Action. Faith in Action is a coalition of congregations who identify one local justice issue annually on which we can courageously act together to effect change here in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. We're doing together what we cannot do alone as individuals or even as congregations. Today, we're launching Faith in Action into the public arena at a service of celebration and blessing over at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church. You're welcome and encouraged to attend at 4 o'clock today. My sense is that the Spirit of God has been making a way for Faith in Action to emerge. I haven't seen this level of collaboration across different faith traditions in the years that I've lived here. We on the so-called steering committee recognize that God is directing us. This year, our focus issue is local justice for immigrant neighbors. Already, more than 18% of our city is Hispanic. Almost 15% of folks in Harrisonburg were born outside the U.S., and nearly 22% speak a language other than English at home. These statistics are higher than those for Virginia generally or for the United States. At a recent Harrisonburg District Council meeting, I heard Alicia Horst, Executive Director of New Bridges Immigrant Resource Center, suggest that given the global refugee crisis right now, it is very reasonable to expect that our community, Harrisonburg and Rockingham, will receive another influx of newcomers in the months ahead. I wonder whether the launch of Faith in Action with our first year's focus on justice for local immigrants is God's way of preparing this community for more new arrivals, breaking down walls of discrimination, and creating new bonds of love and courage among the people of our community. I don't know. But I do know the God of Israel, the God of heaven and earth, whose love has no borders. I believe that some local variation of God's salvation story is underway. We do know that God's love became incarnate, was lived out in real human life amidst public and political realities. And even though we may be skeptical that Rahab has lived in Israel ever since, our faith on the border is that Jesus lives, conquers fear and death, breaks down the dividing wall of hostility, and creates a new community by his blood, spilled in recognition of an eternal covenant. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is Jesus, I Believe You're Near, written by Matt Carlson. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.